You're listening to the iHeartRadio Talk Network, and this is the Evan Solomon Show. Today with special guest host, Graham Richardson.
Let me be perfectly clear.
Putting out misinformation.
And we hear them.
Misleading politics.
What's really important here.
Spreading it online.
Unequivocally.
The War Room.
The War Room with the echoing. I just noticed that. Wow, Evan's got all the effects here. That's just great. Good to be here. We are joined by our War Room political panel. Tim Powers, the chairman of Summa Strategy, Tom Mulcair, CTV political analyst, and Zane Velji, a former strategist, and he's a strategist and partner with Northweather, and of course connected with Naheed Nenshi, former Calgary mayor, and Rachel Notley, who is very interesting times in Alberta. Welcome to you all. Thanks for being here.
Hey, it's good to be with you, Graham.
All right, Tom, let's start in Quebec. This was predicted. I think I talked to you about it many, many weeks ago. That Legault was going to have a very good campaign, and he did with some hiccups. What does this mean for the provincial relationship with Ottawa and with Justin Trudeau? I mean, this is an emboldened Legault, is it not?
It's an emboldened Legault who was already bold enough to go after Legault in last year's election. So you can imagine what it's going to be like now. He's got to play a game because, of course, he's never changed his stripes, but he's changed his strategy. He gave an important interview before the 2018 campaign, and he said this: look, we've tried twice to separate in one grand evening. It hasn't worked. So I'm going to be doing three things. I'm going to be going after more powers on language, culture, and immigration. And he specifically circled the family reunification category of immigrants, something that belongs to Ottawa and not to Quebec. Quebec gets so say in all of the economic side. That will be the first big fight Legault will bring to Trudeau now. Trudeau is very clear and adamant that he will not hand that over to Quebec, but it's an arm wrestle that Legault wants to have with Trudeau. It's interesting because slowly but surely through laws that discriminate against religious minorities, including Muslim women in particular, that discriminate against the English-speaking community of Quebec and their right to control and manage school boards or to have equality of English and French before the courts, Trudeau is so terrified of Legault that he doesn't do anything.
He doesn't do anything. He doesn't say anything.
Normally, his attorney general, David Lametti, should be there front and center saying, we're referencing this, you know, we're sending it to the Supreme Court, we're going to test the legality of this. Instead, we find out that a young Muslim woman teaching on the Quebec side loses her teaching job because she's wearing a headscarf. So the same government that loves lecturing people on the importance of human rights is not doing the most basic thing, which is standing up for the Constitution and ensuring that everybody has the same rights in our country from coast to coast to coast.
And Zane, other provinces, in particular in Alberta, in particular a certain someone who might win the leadership in the next few days, they're watching this very carefully. And they want what Quebec has, and maybe they're not going to enforce federal laws.
Well, I mean, this has worked for a long time in Quebec, and now why not try it elsewhere, Graham? That's exactly the premise and through line for Danielle Smith here, right? She for a long time has ironically, and I'll say ironically, saying, why can't we be more like Quebec? You mean that place with an economic future that doesn't look so great? You mean that place that is always on the outside looking in many of our national conversations? Sure. Why can't we be more like that? Now, as much as I sarcastically deride her, you're right, Graham. She's more than likely going to win on Thursday. So there is a proof point here, if she wants to say it that way, to her at least her rhetoric around the Sovereignty Act, around separation, around we need to be our own nation.
We're not going to enforce gun laws. We're not going to follow the gun laws. Right?
Absolutely. And so there's an audience for that. What I'll warn Danielle Smith is the same warning I've given on this show multiple times. Albertans don't want that. I don't say that as a partisan progressive hack. I say that as someone that can read numbers, that can read polls, that can say the majority of Albertans have said no thank you to that, no thank you to a version of that. And so I think she will become victorious by Thursday, but by Friday, she needs to really and truly understand what ails this province. Yeah. And it is not the fact that we are part of a larger confederation.
When Albertans, I know, get angry and frustrated with Ottawa, which is at a peak now, they talk about separation, but they are great Canadians. And they don't go as far, I would argue, as many sovereigntists in Quebec, even the far extremes. On the right wing in Alberta, they are still Canadians and they're proud Albertans. I understand that, but it's just not the same dynamic as what's happening in Quebec. I want to bring Tim in. Tim, what do you do if you're Pierre Poilievre and you're faced with this? Because I don't think he's going to be condemning Quebec either. He sees growth around Quebec City, like your friend Mr. Harper saw. He's not going to want to fight a newly powerful Quebec premier on these issues. And that is where the power seems to have shifted, at least for now.
Well, you could argue, if you pick up the point on Trudeau, who has fought ferociously Legault with pillows, great pillow fight they're having, and landed not a punch or a feather, if you will, that both Pierre and the Prime Minister have a choice they're going to have to make soon. Are they going to speak to the bigger opportunity of the Federation or get played by two players in the provinces? And we're living in a time where, you know, Fed prof fighting, as Zane has said in Alberta, I think this is generally true across the country, is not something people really want.
No.
I think Pierre will be watching for how Smith rolls out in her early days, because there's already a lesson there of how you can flame out. His name is Jason Kenney. Jason came in with lots of fire and brimstone, albeit he rightly has called Daniel Smith's Alberta Sovereignty Act stupid. But he was going to shake up the Federation, and he was going to play off this sentiment. And when he couldn't govern well, even though the Alberta economy has done reasonably well, it fell apart. So, yeah, Pierre has got to be fairly deft, but he might have to demonstrate that he has national leadership chops, because where does that matter? In Ontario. Where does he need to break through? In Ontario, particularly in and around Toronto.
Yeah. Tom, before we get to break, you know, other Canadians, and I hear this all the time, like, how is it that Quebec can talk about immigration levels? Quebec premier in the middle of a campaign can do that. They can bring in these controversial laws where someone, as you mentioned, a teacher in Chelsea loses her job for wearing hijab. And, well, collectively as Canadians, people kind of shrug and say, that's Quebec. And any other province, in particular Alberta, tried to pull something like that, there would be a massive, massive pushback. Why?
Let
not
me take
Quebec?
Another example from the prairies. I would give you the example of Manitoba, because Quebec and Manitoba have verbatim identical language obligations with regard to the use of French and English before the courts, confirmed several times by the Supreme Court of Canada.
Yes.
Going back years now. Quebec is removing that, and they purport to modify the British North America Act to legalize their perception that French is the only official language and so forth. And they're rolling back equality of French and English before the courts. Now, take your strategy for analyzing this. Imagine that some future very right-wing Manitoba government simply contrived, you know, to get votes, to start going after the French-speaking minority of Manitoba and said, we will no longer respect the equality of French and English before the courts, and we will no longer follow the rules of the Supreme Court with regard to adoption in both languages of legislation before our legislature. How many nanoseconds would it take for David Lametti, our Attorney General, to send that post haste before the Supreme Court for a reference decision? And yet the exact same thing on the other foot has been taking place in Quebec, and it's been crickets.
Not
so I think that your approach in terms of analyzing this is exactly right. What would it take for them to react if the same thing was happening somewhere else? It wouldn't take much, but because it's Quebec, English-speaking minority, tough luck, and the control and management of school boards, Legault attacked that as well. For now, you know, the whole thing's being held together with bailing wire, but there's going to have to be a decision. Again, this is something that should have been shot off to the Supreme Court immediately, but they won't do it.
We're going to take a break. We've got our political panel here, and we're going to talk about Hockey Canada. And what I felt was like just like lightning bolts at a time when I didn't expect it yesterday at the committee. And oh my goodness, something rare. All the parties agree in terms of their questioning. That should have been the lead yesterday. All politicians on all sides agree that Hockey Canada is doing a terrible job, and they're all asking the same questions. We'll talk about that with Zane Velji, Tom Mulcair, and Tim Powers on the political panel right here on the Evan Solomon Show. I'm Graham Richardson. Stay with us. We're back in just a moment.
It's the Evan Solomon Show with special guest host Graham Richardson on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back. We're with our War Room political panel, Zane Velji, Tom Mulcair, and Tim Powers. This is Hockey Canada yesterday on Parliament Hill.
Our board, frankly, does not share the view that senior leadership should be replaced on the basis of what we consider to be substantial misinformation and an unduly cynical attacks. You know, I appreciate that others disagree with us, but our positions are based on the information that we have and an understanding that Hockey Canada has an excellent reputation. Suggesting that toxic behavior is somehow a specific hockey problem or to scapegoat hockey as a centerpiece for toxic culture is, in my opinion, counterproductive to finding solutions and risks overlooking the change that needs to be made more broadly to prevent and address toxic behavior, particularly against women.
Tim Powers, what did you make of the tone yesterday? I was really struck by it.
Well, let me do a little disclaimer. I was the head of a national sports organization for 5 years. Know a lot of the Hockey Canada people, have worked with some of them. I don't know Andrea, who we were speaking there, the current
Andrea
chair.
Skinner. Yep, fair enough.
Yeah, I've had a little bit of correspondence with her before. Know Scott Smith, the president. But boy, oh boy, I suspect all of the three of us, and you may agree too, if we were giving them advice today, Graham, the advice would be probably some of you should sit down and you shouldn't take on the mm-hmm. posture you took yesterday. Mm-hmm. I mean, to blame everybody else and to say, look, you don't understand, our problems are our societal problems, was not mm-hmm. the right call. It was stupid, in fact, and I'm not making that a personal attack on any one person, but the strategy was stupid. The other thing I'd say, Graham, is what I found more perplexing, and it was either a clear threat or a very targeted threat, was the comments Andrew Skinner made concerning, well, if we all resigned, the lights would go off tomorrow.
That was where I was going.
Nuts.
Yeah. So I can tell you today, and Graham, you've been in this situation, I coach my son's B hockey team, and three of us, we have a scrimmage with the other B hockey teams today. We're going about it anyway. The lights aren't going off for us, but here's what I know about national sports organizations. So what she might have been saying and sending a message, which clearly Quebec said we don't buy it, is if we decide to disband, you families and players won't be insured. And you know enough about sports to know that you got to have the insurance to play. And if she was saying that, that's a pretty bold threat.
It is a threat.
Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to bring Zane in because, and then we'll talk to Tom as well. But it just seemed like combative. And regardless, like, even if there's some truth there that it's not exclusively hockey, well, you know, if any sport was investigating an alleged gang sexual assault that they paid off quietly with registration fees from parents, those are truths. You know, there's got to be some accountability for the public and for hockey parents, doesn't there? Apparently not.
Well, I mean, this is just the thing, is that this is not just following good or bad comms advice. There is massive ramifications to these words, because it can negate years of trauma, of abuse, of poor behavior, of illegal behavior, perhaps. You know, looking at Tim's point, I'm thinking about this, because Tim, they have procured sound communications advice. And to me, the only thing I can conclude, and I'm curious if you guys agree, is that the advice maybe given to them was to say, this is your last gasp, so fight. Because to your intro, Graham, how many times have we seen all political parties edging to get into the committee meeting so they can take a shot at an organization? Yeah. Last time was probably we, and even then the Liberals were on the defensive there. This is different. And so there could be a last gasp mentality, which is to say, screw it. We're blaming everyone that isn't us. We're throwing it all against the wall. Gaslighting, sure, let's do that. Slinging mud, yup, let's do that. Trying to make you look like you're the one that's actually out of touch, let's do that. Because to me, I think they know, to that last point around the inside voice being said outside, that if we leave, this thing is done. I think they know that if they leave, Hockey Canada's done. And I think this is institutional in that sense of trying to support and ensure that the institution stays alive, regardless of the tactics that they have to use. I could be wrong, but maybe that was the advice given.
Yeah, and you know, Tom, like, I agree that, you know, like, I appreciate they're professionals and they do lots of work, but, you know, hockey is not a hard sell in this country. picking.
Well said.
I could pick Team Canada for the next Olympics, and I don't know. Patricia Bull,
fantasy sports.
But Patricia Bull, my co-anchor, knows more about sports than I do, and I could actually pick Team Canada. My point being, I mean, it's raining hockey players, and everybody's already bought in. Have you ever seen this level of completely missing the boat where the public is? I think.
It's an unbelievable situation. I wanted to go straight to the same point that Tim had raised. How can you possibly, if you know anything about hockey in the country, how could Attorney Skinner sit there and say, without us, the lights don't go on in arenas? It's the provincial federations that take care of the arenas, unless, as Tim suggests, it was some looping reference to the inability to find insurance, in which case this is beyond the problems that we've just thought of and talked about and been seeing with regard to sexual abuse and sexual assault. This is a completely different category. I mean, this is a group of people who are intent on being lemmings and getting to the edge and jumping off, but they're going to try to bring as many other people as they can with them. There's another part here that we don't talk about enough, it seems to me. I've been in and around governments and politics and senior administration, because I was a senior bureaucrat before going into politics, mm-hmm. for long enough to know that it's extremely rare for a minister and a whole government not to get their way. So in terms of the planning and execution of how they're going to deal with this serious problem, it's been a complete and total fail on the part of this particular federal government as well. You have to know where you are, who the players are in every sense, and how to deal with it. Instead, we've got something calling itself Hockey Canada, that we are told is now going to be hiring a former Supreme Court judge, paying several thousand dollars per hour for a report that they control and they get to deal with. It's not a federal government thing. It's not an independent commission. It's their request for something on themselves. They're not able to have any sponsors right now because everybody's walked away from them, given the current context. And yet they were saying yesterday, no, the sponsors are going to come running back once everybody realizes that you're all wrong. And we've been just fine, because here's the mark that I give you on your report card. She actually said that. Andrea Skinner yesterday said that Hockey Canada deserves an A for their handling of all of these issues. And I just, at that point, it was a mic drop. It was just like, okay, we're into cloud cuckoo land here. That nobody's ever seen before.
And I take your point on the PMO and on government. Mayors don't lose votes. Like, if you're putting it to a vote, you know you're going to get it. Similarly, when the cabinet and the prime minister is saying bad things about Hockey Canada and there needs to be change and there's no change, that's not good on government. Very quickly, Tim, last word on this, and we're going to talk to Rick Westhead right after the break, who broke many parts of this story for TSN. If you're Trudeau, Tim Powers, where do you go on this? Can you go anywhere?
Well, you've done what you can do. You could move to disband them. It would depend on what their constitution says and the role the federal government has in that. They've taken the hard step of pulling out money, but Hockey Canada is the one NSO where the federal government money is not as significant and influential as it is in every other NSO. So maybe they move to disband them. There would be constitutions that constitute all of these organizations where the federal government designates an organization as a national sports organization. That might be their next move.
Zane Velji, Tom Mulcair, and Tim Powers, always great to talk to all of you. Thanks so much for this.
Great to be with you, Graham.
Thanks, Graham. Be well.
You too. Have a good day. We're going to watch in Alberta on Thursday, Danielle Smith. Somebody said, I heard the other day, there's going to be as much suspense there as there was for Pierre Poilievre in the leadership for the Conservatives. We'll see if that comes true. Lots of implications for the right in Alberta, and lots of implications for the Federation, for the federal government, and also for Rachel Notley, which we didn't get a chance to talk about. Where does she stand in the NDP, particularly in the cities of Alberta? We're going to watch that on Thursday. Alberta, you know, don't paint it with one brush. You go to the inner parts of Edmonton and some of the suburbs, very progressive parts of even parts of Calgary, different than who Danielle Smith has been playing to, but it's likely she's going to win leadership. I'm Graham Richardson, in for Evan Solomon. After the news, we will speak with Rick Westhead. Stay with us.